Welcome to the Aesthetic City podcast. In this show, we aim to discover how to go forward and create a more livable, beautiful, and healthy built environment. I'm Ruben Hansen, your host and founder of the Aesthetic City. Today's guests are two architects from Guatemala. They graduated at Notre Dame School for Architecture in South Bend, Indiana, after which they returned to Guatemala to set up their firm Estudio Urbano. In Guatemala, they've worked on one of the most special and successful master plans in the world of traditional architecture and urbanism, Ciudad Cayalá. Together with Leon Creer, Mark Landers and Richard Economakis, they designed what would be a new town. So please welcome Maria Sanchez and Pedro Godoy.
Yes, so thank you so much, Pedro and Maria, for being here.
For us, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you very much, Roman.
Yeah, so could you tell me a bit about yourself and how the two of you got interested in architecture, and more specifically, how you became interested in traditional architecture?
Well, my name is Maria Sanchez.
And my name is Pedro Godoy.
And we have been married for 27 years now. We met at the School of Architecture here in Guatemala. We shared that passion from the beginning. But I think that one of the aspects that strike our hearts is that architecture is a celebration of creation and is the language that reveals the power of the good, the true, and the beautiful. In that aspect, love is the path to goodness. Reason is the path to the truth, and creativity is the path to beauty. So in some way, for us, architecture was a very deep language to express. And I think that the primary purpose of being architects was this profound desire of contribute through this language to create places that engage with people and create places for communities in which you have great societies that lives all those principles that I mentioned before, and like we can reshape the world. So it was maybe it was like a very unique passion, and we shared that together, and we found all of this in the process that we study in Guatemala, and then when we did our master's degree.
But it was a path to discovery, all of this. In fact, our school in Guatemala was not a traditional school whatsoever. It was, in fact, a modernist school. Most of the professors were not interested in tradition or following tradition, classical, less. But we did have one professor that inspired us to pursue something about tradition. His name is Warren Orbo. And from this, the school in Guatemala, we got contact to do some work as a professional practice with Gabriele Tagliaventi.
Yeah.
That was in Bologna, like in 96.
Yes.
I believe. So from that point on, we were enthusiastic about all of this that was not taught at school, but that we knew that came from ancient times. And why not do it today? And if somebody was interested, maybe there's something to it. They both suggested that the only school that was doing something about it was Notre Dame.
Yeah. And we found an amazing academic field in, in Notre Dame.
Yeah, so how was that experience there? Because how was that? Yeah.
Yes, for us, experience of being at Notre Dame changed our lives completely. I think that we found there an education that we were seeking for, and that in some way calmed our desire of producing those places that I mentioned before. We were aware of the situation of our city, in which the modernist philosophy just destroyed much of our beautiful legacy that we had. So at Notre Dame, we found the tools to understand the traditional city. And by living in Rome for a certain time, that make us not just understanding intellectually the traditional city, but living it. So in some way, when we came to Guatemala, our legacy as Antigua Guatemala, that is a beautiful Spanish town, we saw it like lost in the past, that those principles were not applied anymore in the architecture and urbanism today. But after coming from Notre Dame, we really understood the power of the principles that we had in our legacy. So that is when we start to look for an opportunity to reincorporate those principles again in our time. And we were seeking for an opportunity to do that.
We also at Notre Dame got to meet with some of our heroes, some of our heroes that made all of this happen, because the time was really tough to traditional architects and people like Thomas Gordon Smith that got together the pensum for Notre Dame into becoming the classical school that it is. And William Westphal also, Samuel Yunis, Richard Konomakis, all of these professors that are actually teaching there and are really reclaiming the tradition of architecture. And that was what the school was about.
And they really give their lives for you to learn and to be amazing architects. So I think that there is a passion in the way they teach that we found fantastic. It was an amazing opportunity for us to be at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Also, when I look at the website of Notre Dame and I see the final projects of students, just I kind of get this warm glow of it's so beautiful. And when I compare it to, well, other universities where you see their final projects, it doesn't spark this same emotion, you could say. But maybe before we head on to the topic of Cayala, what was the norm of building in Guatemala? Well, when you left for study in Notre Dame, and how is the construction nowadays in Guatemala, and what kind of things get built, and why does it get built like that?
Well, Guatemala has an interesting history that came even from pre-Hispanic times, and then with the Spaniards colonies that actually became a major center for the development of the region. So architecture of Spain really made the first imprint into making the cities all over Guatemala. One of it, of course, was Antigua Guatemala. And then even to the 17th and 18th and 19th century, when it came to the present Guatemala City. That was a coherent line of architecture and construction also, because actually that was, I think, what changed everything. The methods of construction that allow certain liberties, right, made also options to develop bigger buildings and out-of-scale buildings and that you see all over Guatemala City now. Yeah. And of course, following and getting to do more densities, what cities all over the world are about today, as I'm sure.
Yeah.
The problem is sprawl, and that lately in the past, let's say 80 years, we have had developments that are like gated communities. So that kind of isolation, really, the streets are for nobody. It's like you have walls everywhere. So there was something that after leaving the traditional city, we knew that that was completely wrong. We have to do something. And we were wishing to start our profession, like trying to change that because it was completely wrong. And it is completely wrong. So that is when that amazing opportunity came. And we were very young when this opportunity came.
And you see how Guatemala City became just a place. Of course, it's a city that has a lot of financial influence in the region. But urbanistically and architectonically, is not what tourists want to come and see. Actually, they came and go directly to Antigua, and you see, well, this is the old city, and how come everybody loves Antigua and Guatemala? This is where everything is happening, but it's not happening the same way as Antigua, and people recognize it. And of course, you see a lot of buildings that are, it could be anywhere in the world, with concrete frames and concrete block, that is the more usual method of construction now. So buildings of glass and concrete frames is what you see all over the city.
No, and architecture should be also a celebration of our culture. You should be proud of what you are building because it represents our philosophy of life and our culture. So that was something that was really moving us to do some intervention in some way. But we didn't know on that time.
Or we hoped.
How we were going to do it. Until the opportunity came.
Yeah. Can you tell me about that opportunity and how you got to build Kaya Lab?
We were coming back from Notre Dame. And then our partner, Mark Landers, he's a landscape architect, worked for this family who owns a property that was like a jewel in the middle of the city. Because the city was developed all around this piece of land. And it kept intact, like it was not developed. So the city grew all around it. And we saw that opportunity immediately. And we thought it could be a really amazing intervention in the city. Because at the end, it's like an extension of the city. But we were very young. So we need a strategy to convince the owners also to believe in us. And so we decided to call our master, that is Leon Krier. And in that moment, we didn't know if he was going to accept or not, but he accepted immediately. And for us, it was an honor to bring him to the team to establish like the first charrette in which we work with the family and Leon and our office. And it was amazing because, of course, on that moment, everything was just ideas. And to convince the owners to do something that was completely different. We were breaking an intellectual market or a commercial market. We were breaking all the rules that were in the past 80 years. So it was not easy. At the beginning, it was not easy, but it was so coherent and so desirable that it started to fit everything into place.
Yeah, so this was 2003. That we made this first charrette. The family already had a master plan for the whole area, but of course was just about doing a road with clusters of residential clusters around it and like that. That was to become all of Kaya Lab. But all of these concepts that Leon Krier presented, I think made sense to them, at least to consider them. And so we convinced them as a first step to do this charrette. I mean, to do this charrette, to have a clear vision of the potential of the land. It was a week charrette that all of the family participated. And at the end of the week, everybody was really clear of what they would do with the land. The vision for the future was set.
Yeah.
The concept was to bring the Christian city that comes from the Persian, Greek, Roman city. So it is an open city. And that was an issue at the beginning because in some way the advice for the family from security was to enclose the city. But that was completely the opposite thing that we wanted to do. And why to close it if we have Antigua Guatemala that is 45 minutes from Guatemala City and is an open city? So that was the first like big step that we gained in this process that was an asset for the whole development.
Yeah. Of course, precedents of architecture that we can follow, Antigua was central to it. And also the neoclassical and even Art Deco past of Guatemala that had a very important background for the traditional and lineal tradition to follow.
Yeah.
So there were some sketches also to incorporate the architecture and the character of the town.
Part of our team was Richard Economakis, professor of the University of Notre Dame. Yeah. And he was also an amazing member of this team in our firm. And it was very interesting how we reestablished a language for this new town.
But it did take some years to get into the construction first phase. So it was until 2008 that we were called again to incorporate what we have of the master plan into the architecture that you started to see from phase one of the construction. That was 2010, the inauguration, I believe.
Okay, 2010, they started construction.
It was very fast. It was a very fast process of construction. And there were times in which we have, like, you know, on site, 3,000 workers at the same time. So it was really an amazing process.
Quick question. So it started in 2010, the construction, and 2008, you went from master plan to drawings.
Yeah, and they got us to do the architecture of the main street for the first phase. And also, it was the beginning of the planning of the church. There was a central piece of land that was determined that they wanted to give to the church in the center of the town.
But what was very interesting is that in the first phase, we did like 500 meters in which we have a civic building, shops, office spaces, apartments. So from the day one, all the concept was there. And it had a great impact because in the inauguration, it looked like it was there for so many years before, you know, it was a complete picture of what was going to happen. But also in the process, because this was like a new language, a new way of doing urbanism and architecture, people were confused. They didn't really understand it. It was a shopping center, or it was a little bit confusing for them. And it was open. You can walk in the streets. So it really was making a statement from day one.
Yes, so two sides of the street, a public building, and all of the different uses. We were really nervous about that because it was the first phase. If it worked, they will follow. If not, that's it. And but it did work, and they were happy to follow the next year with a phase of the same size, and so on.
Wow, yeah. So how did the public react once the first part was finished and they saw it? So there was a bit of confusion, but it was also, were they enthusiastic or?
Completely enthusiastic, because we were creating a pedestrian place, and that was a very important aspect in Guatemala City, to have a place in which you can walk safely, in which you can enjoy, and elevates just your spirit when you are in a position in which you can contemplate. If you are like experiencing an aesthetic place, that changed completely the rules, even of your behavior. That makes like a place in which your behavior is better. Is you engage with the place. So it was very interesting to see all the different aspects that Kayala bring to our society.
And it's immediate, I would say. The feeling of ownership of the pedestrian to the street, because they felt that like it is theirs. And if a car goes there, it goes very slowly, because they realize it's about pedestrians. It's about people walking in the streets.
And the concept of shared space, you can explain.
Yeah. So it's this concept of shared space that, of course, you can have cars. You have cars parked there also going through. But essentially, it's for people and people to enjoy the streets and walk on the streets and have tables to enjoy a coffee or something on the streets. The streets become really alive, and they are not just corridors for cars.
And also we changed something that was very important, that was signage. In Guatemala, we have big signage everywhere, and that happens all over the world. But we wanted to change that. So we omit all kind of signage. And it was at the beginning for the people that were driving, they were a little bit confused because they were not like have a very direct guidance of what to do. But that helped us a lot to make that experiment of people and cars working together again. So people were walking in the streets and the cars were very careful of where to go and slowly, as Pedro said. So it was very successful experiment, I think.
I already heard you talk about some innovations that were, well, new for Guatemala, like less signage, making pedestrianized zones, but also introducing, it's probably the first design that used traditional design language again, even though they're all based on things that already have proven to work in the past, there are still innovations. Could you tell a bit about this innovative side of Kayala in Guatemala?
Other aspect that we explore was to take advantage of our weather. So we have a beautiful weather in Guatemala. So we start to produce more spaces open to the weather with more views, like lojas and porticos all along the city.
And so a lot of the buildings are concrete frames. Also, they have concrete block to build the buildings, but they are done with a traditional language that gives a continuity of the buildings one next to the other. You can read the facades that are doing a coherent frame to the streets.
Yeah.
And in that variety, we incorporate the sacred architecture too, that was very important in our design. So we have a civic building, we have a church, we have a movie theater. So you can read all this language by the differentiation in their hierarchy.
Yeah.
This, one of the other aspects maybe is that you feel also the idea of fabric buildings that are not really prominent, that their job is actually to make the streets and blocks, and then suddenly you do have some buildings that they have a presence, they want to say I'm important, and the hierarchy of the city is read in that.
Yeah, you create like those momentums of beautiful statements,
which is hard to achieve in present city, because I mean every building wants to be a character and a main character into the street, and that doesn't allow the architecture to flow through the streets and to give you these moments of squares, main squares with the main buildings in it, that is actually part of the traditional way of doing cities that is recovered.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point. How in traditional urban design, not every building tries to be a statement building, which is also an absurd way to design places, to have statement pieces everywhere, because it kind of makes a messy whole. But it's very interesting. And how was the cooperation with Leon Krier? He got involved from the very start. And how was this cooperation, and what have you learned from him? And just in general, how has it been?
Well, it has been a incredible opportunity for us to be able to work for all these years. It's already 20 years.
20 years of an amazing partnership.
Participation with him. Of course, you learn every time you are with him in everything what you do. And if you question what he's drawing, you'll soon realize he was right.
He's a genius, it has happened.
I mean, and as we have some experiences in the development of the city and how to do a town, really, and how to really do a town of the size of Kayala, that complete town. I mean, it's a unique opportunity, and we have the unique participation of Leon Krier in it. And so we are always trying to decline to keep him in like a very important part of it.
And
yes, and not just that. He's like, he's an amazing human being. And he has taught us so many concepts also about just being a good person, being a good architect, it has been like a holistic way in which we have learned from him, and we enjoy that so much.
Yeah. So how do people react when they discover Kayala, when they come from outside, or when they kind of stumble upon it, or tourists, for example?
Yes, it has been amazing. You know that we have been having a lot of guests from every single corner of the world. It has been really great. And I think that photos does not reveal what it is. So when we have had, for example, members of the Seaside Institute of the or developers from Panama or Honduras or any place, even in the United States, they really get shocked when they are walking with us on those streets. They have a completely different, like, it's not the same in pictures. You have to feel the space, feel the scale, yeah, feel the buildings to yeah, get the idea of what we are producing here. So we yeah, have visits every, like, let's say every month, like 4 or 5 international visits. It's really amazing. And we share a lot of things that I think that are important to be shared so this model can be expanded.
Yeah. And is that model indeed being taken over in other countries now? Like, how many, like, new seedlings have been put out, you think?
I will say that we had another project because this guest came to Guatemala by chance and he was doing another works here in Guatemala and he stayed in Cayala by a coincidence, I say, and he was in shock of what he saw. So he tried to reach us until he found us and now we are working together in another yeah, project. Yes. So it has been an amazing
yeah,
wow, way to expand the model.
Yeah.
Also yeah, in Mexico, we had an opportunity like that. So, I mean, they realized that there's something special about the way of this development is going. And it's completely different of what they are used to being done in other countries, right? So
yeah,
I think it's an important model to at least give a chance to study.
yeah. So also looking at the design of Cayala, could you tell a bit about what has influenced it? And also you already talked a bit about Art Deco and of course the colonial architecture, but also perhaps Maya influences. So how does it represent Guatemalan culture?
Well, actually, we were trying to capture the idea of a continuity of the architecture of the past mm-hmm, to the present and to the future. I think this is something that you automatically do as you try to do traditional architecture, because you're working in your time. You cannot avoid being modern,
yeah,
because you're doing the architecture with modern materials and modern clients and modern development and pressure of the people and the market that wants certain amount of development. Of course, incorporating all of this into traditional architecture makes it different from the architecture that happened before this moment in time. But in that, it doesn't have to say that it loses the principles of traditional architecture that we all love.
You cannot omit that vast knowledge of the past.
Yeah.
That give you like the formula that has been proven on time that is successful. So you yeah, have to incorporate that in your life too and in the way that you design.
So Antigua was a big precedent in the massiveness of the proportion of the columns and the arches and the arcades. Maybe, as Maria said, in Antigua it just happens in the main square. We go all along the main street with arcades in every yeah, building. So every building contributes to the street with an arcade. That was part of it. So taking details of, I mean, every different architecture that happened in Guatemala and incorporating into a new architecture is the job of an architect, what I believe. To do mm-hmm, traditional architecture is about composition. And composition into all of these different aspects that come together to produce a new building.
No, and it is, architecture is a language. So is that, like, we are speaking today and we are communicating in the same language, but that doesn't mean that we cannot create like new poems. So that is the creativity that you have to have in architecture, to create new spaces for their time. They're adequated to the space, the culture, everything, contextual. Yeah. So it is very important.
What's the public building with the capitals with the corn cups again?
Oh, that's Azaria building. It was designed by Richard Economakis. And I think that that's an amazing building. He contributes greatly to our country with that building. So you have those maize capitals that are a symbol of, like the Popol Vuh, the Mayan book said, we are men made of corn. So it brings back this kind of symbolism and also our commercial aspect. So he studied very well that building. And he fusioned our two cultures, and we are product of those amazing cultures. So that is why I really love his design for Azaria building. And he has so many other magnificent aspects of design in the building.
Yeah, because when I was in Kayala, the steps of the Azaria building were used for a lot of selfies and people taking pictures. And even people came to me to ask me to make a picture of them sitting there with the building in the background. So for me, that is the proof of a successful place.
Now, do you know that it is situated in a very nice position? So you have the steps like in three sides, and you can have like a beautiful site to contemplate the surroundings and even the volcanoes and the sunset. So it is very dramatic in its design. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, I think that in the design, things like the Mayan heritage, but also, I think in the cinema, you had some Art Deco influences, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, well, the colonial, but also classical architecture influences all come together in this design, make it a very fitting design, but as you said, a composition for this place.
In the main plaza, we have this language that this dialogue between buildings, because then you have the main church in that is in front of the main plaza, and then you have the cinema that has an exedra. So that exedra allows you to stand and see a different perspective of the church and also the sunset. So there is a very well and careful study of the buildings.
Yeah. Could you also tell a bit about how creating such a beautiful place has been made possible from a financial standpoint? Because many people will directly say, yeah, but it's much too expensive to build beautiful traditional architecture nowadays. But yet it happened in Guatemala. And yeah, Guatemala is not like the United States swimming in money, but still it was possible to build an extremely beautiful and successful place there. So how was that done?
Well, I think that the courage of the client has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Because this was a completely new idea to do buildings with it and to start to do places. How come you do public places? I mean, we should, the usual would be to just build a building, sell it as fast as they can, and run. I mean, this is actually the usual way of how it works.
Yeah.
But in this case, the family was thinking of creating a legacy, a patrimony. Mm. And that completely changed the rule and the game.
Yeah. So that was part of it. But of course, it has to have some financial sense. And to have the financial sense, it made sense in the long run, I would say. This is the thing. It cannot be something that you will build and next year you run away and go, because if you start to see it like that, it doesn't make sense. It does make sense to see how the value of the property has increased. And actually, they are owners of the main street still. I mean, they kept the main street as part of
their patrimony.
All of the street, mm-hmm. and also the buildings facing it. And the buildings beyond this main street are the ones that are for sale, right? For example. So you can start to see how it makes sense, how much value they have into this main street now. Before, it was just pastures for cattle And now they have this place that is unique.
Became the town center of the whole area.
The town center of the whole zone, and now also a real clear extension of a new quarter, a new barrio, we say in Spanish, for the city of Guatemala. So that is there and is their property.
No, and imagine if you, in a regular development, you will build first just houses. And if something goes well, then maybe you will add some civic buildings or public buildings. But in this case, because the way it was thought and it was built, houses were sold immediately when you can analyze that you are buying in a city. You know, it's not buying in an isolated development. You are buying inside a city. So you have so many amenities that are just desirable that it was so easy for them to sell the houses and apartments.
And the apartments that are now for sale, they also hold into this idea of being connected to the city, walking distance to the city, a new way of life that you cannot have anywhere in the city of Guatemala. Just like that. And also in other countries, because actually it's not the way they are developing nowadays, right? So you can have your house and you have walking distance to go everywhere, to church, you can go to the cinema, you can go to restaurants, you can go to do your daily life, enjoy your daily life. So that's what they have now, and they are just building now into that.
So you had an investor who really thought about the long term and didn't just want like a quick cash grab, but wanted to leave a legacy. And he also profited off having prime real estate at the core street of the plan, which rose in value. Is that kind of what happened?
Yes, I think summarizes what I think, actually.
Yeah. How do you think this type of long-term thinking can be encouraged in future projects? And how do you think Kayla could be a way to kind of show the world how that can really benefit people who have long-term vision?
I think there is a personal responsibility in this world. We have to have that personal responsibility. And we are the heirs of amazing cultures. And we have to think what we are going to leave to the other generations that comes after us. So we have to start really changing that mindset of doing something like fast and just thinking about economic issues. And also thinking about just about a function. Because I think that when you build a building that just is based on function, it will disappear quickly. But when you build a building thinking on beauty, it will kept on time. People will love it. People will try to keep it. So we have to start to think more about our legacy also to the next generations. That's important.
In that respect, it makes sense also in the ecological way of doing the buildings. And we cannot avoid doing buildings. I mean, it's a fact that civilization is about building and making new cities. So how do we do it? We have incredible presence in the past. And now, Kayala, for example, I think it can be seen as a model of how to develop buildings that are actually making sense ecologically, not because they have green roofs or they have... But because the use of the buildings is about doing a community that can live and work and do everything there. They don't have to move far away to achieve their lives. And in that respect, it really makes sense to do something similar to this.
Architecture should be transcendental, you know, it should be to create places for thousands of years as it was before. So we have to rethink of what our intervention in the world is. And we have to complement the beauty that is in nature. So it's our responsibility, I think.
also we see how we're starting to see how a development in part of the city of Guatemala, like Cayalá, in maybe 3 years, you will have the main barrio finished. And then it would really be finished. It's not an ongoing process of building over building over building that you suffer all over the world. I mean, it's impossible to, I mean, you will have always a building site, right? Instead, Cayalá, it will be finished in a way that everybody will be able to enjoy. And that's what the city is about, I think.
Yeah, and we have to celebrate also our identity, our culture. It is very important to think on long term when we create architecture and urbanism.
Yeah. And so perhaps about the materials of the buildings, and how do you see the lifespan of the buildings? Do you think they can stand for a longer time than regular, or do you think because they will be more valued that they will be repaired because they will not just be torn down for something new?
That's the idea, that they will really like it, so they keep it and they reuse it, maybe in a different use. That can be done, but they can reincorporate new uses and modern uses into the buildings, and so the architecture of the place is preserved. That, as Maria said, it will only happen if people start to love the buildings, and they will love them if they consider them beautiful and something is worth keeping, is because it's beautiful and they love them. And so in that way, I think the place that is created in Cayalá is a memorable place. In a way, that's what you feel and what we felt. This first phase that was inaugurated, it was an instant memorable place, you can say, that you have just by creating this kind of architecture. So this is a strong argument, I guess.
Yeah, for the ecological sustainability. But they're still building. So first phase has been a success, and now they're already building the second phase. Could you tell a bit about these future phases of Cayalá?
Yeah, so the first quarter is, like I said, almost finished. And now they are doing more phases to the north, to the south of the city. And of course, any developer wants a little bit more density, and incorporating this density into the master plan has been a challenge, of course. You can imagine.
Yeah.
And also for Leon and handling all of this, we are doing this type of buildings that we call palacitos. That is actually an idea of him bringing together some types of building that were done in the outskirts of Rome that actually create apartments that are a few apartments creating some insulas of buildings that they define the urban spaces and streets and squares. This is in order to provide more density. Actually, this is what is happening in the next phases, and you will see more of Cayalá into this kind of dense mold, you can say.
But it's very charming because of the scale and the intimacy that it provokes in the streets. So it's a very charming model.
That's part of the idea. Even if we have to have some buildings that are higher, it is not the idea of all of the buildings are higher and destroying the urban space. It's that very particular places are selected to create higher buildings to actually emphasize the urban layout.
So it's
kind of different, but is interesting also.
When I visited Cayalá, one thing that stood out to me was just how natural the spaces felt and how natural the public space felt, and how the spaces were really pleasant, and there was not really any place I could identify that was very unpleasant or unnatural. And it really felt like a village that had always been there. And yeah, also the vistas of the surrounding, well, volcanoes, even how the light fell was magical in a way. And I think I almost can't believe that something like this has been built. And I also strongly agree, like, how architecture can be transcendental and lead to transcendental experiences. I hope that such projects get built more often. And I surely think that also in countries like Mexico, this could work very well. Mm-hmm. So also when I was there, I saw a lot of local people enjoying their time there. Could you tell a bit about the public who visits Kaila?
Yes, it is. As I told you before, it's an open city. It's for an open society. You have people from different ages, different situations in life, visiting Kaila and enjoying it so much. Because we have to redefine what is to live. To live is not just to sleep in a place. To live is to enjoy that place. So even if they don't have the possibility to buy an apartment or a house there, they can live completely the experience of a traditional town. And that is a model that you can see before, like, let's say, Rockefeller Center. That's an amazing private development open to the public. And we all can enjoy being there. So this is the same thing. This is a private development, but it's open to all the Guatemalan people and all the visitors from every part of the world. So it gives you the opportunity to enjoy those principles that are so desirable, I think.
And I think it has to do with the mix of uses, as we said, mix of uses along the public spaces that are created, streets and squares. And also this very important layer that is incorporated and very unusual now, that is the church. This is a sacred layer that is actually taken away from the city, as many things, because the modern city is about zoning, about separating all of the ingredients of traditional city. Instead, Kaila brings everything together, even this sacred layer that was completely forbidden into the city is placed right in the middle. And that's a big statement, I guess. And also right in the middle with a lot of presence and prominence into the main street, main square.
And create another kind of community. So it is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a place where people come together. The people going to church, going out of church, chatting.
A center of community, a building that that is actually the important center of a community. Right.
No, and it has been an amazing success for this church, because it has a capacity of 800 people, and you have to see every single weekend. It is full. It brings so many people together. And it is magical, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, you need a society. I think in the Netherlands, religion is, I feel, in most of the urban parts, is decreasing ever further. So I think in the Netherlands, you need to have a society which supports such a structure, of course. But it would be best to have such places of community, and perhaps in a church or in another form, because I think that is also really what is lacking from a lot of modern city plans, and a reason they don't feel alive.
No, it's true.
In the Dutch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one other aspect, because Kaila was built and then there were some journalists who wrote, well, let's say, nasty articles about Kaila. Could you tell me about those kind of attacks?
Okay. I think that when you do a product that is like desirable for the majority, then you will have a minority who will attack you. Okay. Yeah. That's part of life. And yes, we had several like publications about Kaila being the city of the rich people. But it was very funny when we were walking with the owner, one of the owners of Kayala, some months ago. And it was full of people, crowded with every kind of people, old people, young people. It was full. And he laughed at me and he said, it is really amazing that Guatemala is full of millionaire people, you know, because that's the thing, that truth will always prevail on time. And those articles were like trying to break our society. They were not with a good intention. But at the end, with time, all those lies just disappeared because it was not sustainable. All the things that they comment was not true. So that's something also, that we cannot control. But at the end, the people that enjoys the place will tell you what it is about.
And of course, maybe there is some articles that somehow they get more reach into the people. But you see a lot of publications that YouTubers, TikTokers, it's incredible that arrive just to the town and say, well, I'm visiting this place that they say is nice. And they start to say and enjoy all the qualities of naturally that you perceive into visiting the place. And it's now the number one spot to visit in Guatemala City, because now you have something to do rather than go directly to Antigua. You can spend a few hours here in Guatemala City to enjoy the place and then go. So this says something about the place, I believe.
Yeah. One thing that really stuck to me, I think we talked about it, Maria, when I was there, is how Kayala gave Guatemalans a sense of civic pride. Could you tell about that?
Yes, it was a very beautiful phenomenon, I have to say, because I think that beautiful places, it raises your civility. It complements very well the way you behave and the way you act. So it was beautiful to see all the people very well dressed and nobody was like throwing things on the streets. Like everything was elevate your behavior in some way. And I think that another aspect that was very beautiful was a member of a guest, an international guest that came and we were going to have some time to discuss about the project. But then he asked me if he can leave and just take pictures for some while, and then he will return. And he returned so happy. And he said, okay, this is the first time I see a society that is walking grabbed by the hands everywhere. So that was a sign of happiness, a sign of people enjoying it. And it was really beautiful. It was something that this person noticed and I haven't. So for me, after that, I was then paying attention and it was amazing. It's a successful place when you create something that people love and they feel loved and they express love in public. So it is amazing.
Yeah. And I can also imagine that Guatemala had a civil war and it has had some difficulty in the past, but then coming out of it and trying to rebuild some of its civility and have something going for itself. I think in such a project is perhaps a beautiful symbol of the rise of Guatemala.
No, and we are a multicultural country. And to see everybody gather in the same space, because public spaces are for that, are for gathering. And even if we have different philosophies of life or different ways of thinking, if you act in a very civilized manner, you can be together and you can share the same space. That is the purpose of cities in some way. So that for us as architects, when we saw that like momentum in which you have all your society gathering together and sharing and in a peaceful way, in a very ordered manner, it is very nice. I think that that's something that goes beyond everything.
Yeah. Also looking at, you have people who say some architects think they can change society with architecture. Some think you can't. But here, because of Kayala, I start to think that you can actually positively change a society in some ways through its design. But what do you think about that? Like, what is your stance on that? Because it's a very controversial topic, I think, because it really touches on the hubris of architects who impose something on the public. But here it's built really for the people, and then you see it work instead of imposing an abstract idea upon people and then seeing it fail.
I would say that Kayala is a physical proof that that can happen. You can see it. It's not anymore about theory. You can come here and see that that happens. And is, I think that the right model to rebuild our societies is not now something that stills in an ideal. This is proven, and we are very proud of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has to do, I think, also with architecture, because they question whether it's just about the urban layout. If you have this urban layout, I like this wonderful Kayala urban layout, but let's do modernist buildings along the streets and how it will work. This is the normal idea of an architect that will question Kayala. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because everything has to be together. Like
same language.
Same language is a continuity, the public spaces into the courtyards of the houses. This is something that is not about doing a street and then putting just glass windows and panels and along the street.
And then you lose the contact with the street and
you barriers. Lose the scale, you lose a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't feel the same being in these places because they feel like they are alien to the place. So it has everything to do to the quality and the harmony of architecture and urbanism, that you feel this is a place, it's a complete place. The facades are not the facades of the buildings, but are the facades of the street. Actually, they're making the facades of the street, the public rooms that the streets and the squares are creating. So this is part of the concept, I think, that is successful.
Yeah, and we have to understand that architecture responds to a higher order, and that higher order is the city. So that's the importance of each building represents something for the city. It's not the building itself, like isolated from the city. That is very important in the traditional thinking. And that is why the Kayala model has brought together so many principles that now they are visible and are easy to understand.
Yeah, I fully agree with this holistic idea of cities and urbanism. And I see it a little bit with, for example, if you go to the gym and work out, but then you eat a lot of sugar and fat and kind of, it doesn't make sense. Like you need both. You need the healthy food and the workout, and then you'll get a good result. But yeah, you can't have or eat very healthy and don't move. You know, it doesn't work. So
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But that's maybe a weird analogy, but I think it's the holistic view is very important.
You have to be coherent in the way you think, in the way you act, in the way you contribute. That is why I was telling you that it's a personal responsibility. What we do in our societies today, in every practice that you can mention, there is a responsibility. And we have to confront that. And we have to understand that we have to contribute for the next generations to come. That's very important. We cannot still building in the way we have been doing it, devastating nature, devastating our environment, creating ugliness everywhere. There is a say that beauty will save the world. And I believe on that. I think that it's very important that we retake like control on our own future.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about the future, what does the future hold for, first of all, Kayala, and second of all, for your firm and what you are doing yourself?
There, in Kayala, there's still a lot to be done. I mean, there's a few more quarters that are coming in the future. One is next to it, really close to it. And then the other one is like 1 kilometer away, perched into the mountain. And that actually is a town that will have a different character to it because of the topography, but we'll use the same principles, I think. And it's part of the same master plan. It was even considering the 2003 Charette, this area. But now, in the future, like 5 years, it will get into the architecture phase.
Yeah.
So we are developing part of the buildings there, and also in the phase that is next to Kayala. As I described, it's a little bit more density into it. And we believe that Kayala does give you a model to develop the city. And I feel that there is not an example like that this big, but that they realize that there is valuable lessons into how Kayala is done to incorporate into the city. So you can start to see some reaction to it. If I were to say, what can you do with Kayala model? Well, to do more of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the only way that you can get better prices for per square meter, actually. Because it is a model that can be done in every social level and every kind of income. And if it's a model that reproduces all over the city, I think it will get to it.
And it's the model of the compact city. So we have a balance with nature, and that's very important. And we have to think about it, that we cannot just grab the land and develop and develop and develop without thinking in the whole. So this is very important. And we are passionate about what we do. We are really passionate, and in our firm, we have some other projects that are just fantastic. We will keep working as we have been working the past 20 years in Kayala. So we have good expectations that we will expand this model in different places around the world.
And we just hope to see more of how is it perceived. Now that we can see Kayala, that is a 10-year-old project. So in 20 years, how you will see Kayala? This is an interesting thing. How yeah. will we see it, and how it work into becoming a more mature city, right? That would be interesting, because it's a very short time for a barrio or a quarter to be built and to see all of what the potential is, I think, and the influence that it can have. Actually, is very young.
But if it's young, is very successful model. So we are hoping that this will continue and will beautify our environment, and that through our practice we will still creating places that leads to people to feel proud of being Guatemalans. So that's part of our personal responsibility to do.
Yeah. Do you have any students, or is there any influence already on younger architects in Guatemala who have seen Kayala and think, I also want to do this?
Oh, that's very interesting, because in our firm, we like to have students from different universities, schools of architecture, and all of them are modernists, but we are trying to train them. And after a certain time of practicing with us, we help them to go to do their master's at Notre Dame. And it has been an amazing result, because now we have 4 excellent young architects that are now working in different parts of the world. So this is like creating an army of knowledge, like something nice for the future of Guatemala. Even if they don't return, they are trained to do great architecture wherever they are.
Yeah.
But we are always trying to educate more young architects. And we are now launching a very interesting event. It is a competition, an essay competition, that they have to write about beauty based on Roger Scruton mm-hmm. philosophy. So the winners will have an amazing prize going to Cambridge University. And we are trying to do something different in Guatemala in the education aspect.
Yeah, yeah, wonderful. Perhaps a last question. Do you have anything last for the public to say, or any message to the public?
Okay, I will say that we are very happy for this interview. Thank you, Ruben. Having you in Guatemala was a complete surprise and a wonderful experience. And for us to be engaged in this traditional world with so many good friends that have good hearts and that all are fighting for to build a better world is fascinating. For us, this like network of good people is great. And that inspires us more to fight with more strength all the things that are always against. But we want to leave to our kids and our future grandsons or grandchildren a better future. That is that's what we are really into it. And our profession is a good way to change so many things in our country. And we will fight for that. I hope God give us many years to continue this fight. But we are very proud.
Having been involved into traditional architecture, we realize that everything is about continuity. It's about continuity, and it's about, like we described, these people that began to reclaim all of the tradition of the ancient and to put it into the modern world that had a harder time. And this is our wish that we can contribute somehow in everything that we do and that we can say and they can help. We are happy to do it in order for the tradition to continue. This is also a tradition that goes from one person to the other and from younger people to get enthusiastic into the following of this traditional architecture and urbanism. It is essential. It is essential for the future of the world, I think.
Yeah, thank you. Then, thank you so much for the interview. I was really happy to hear everything about Kayala. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ruben.
Thank you for listening to the Aesthetic City podcast. For more information about Estudio Urbano and their work in Kayala, visit their website or follow them on Instagram. The links are, as always, in the description. If you like our content and want to support what we do, you can support us in various ways. The easiest way is to give this podcast a favorable review. Another way to support this podcast is to share it with colleagues and friends. You can also follow us on X, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or our Substack newsletter. And finally, the ultimate way to support The Aesthetic City is to become a patron. Find the Patreon link in the description. For more information about this platform, visit theaestheticcity.com. Thank you, until next time.